This is Ozarks at Large. Heirloom is a local duo comprised of Jackson Jennings and Dana Louise Eidlett. The two met when Dana was working on paintings for a show at the Fayetteville Underground. She was searching for cross-sections of cedar to paint on when she was introduced to Jackson, who was involved with dendrochronology, or tree ring dating, at the University of Arkansas. During a visit to the Furman Garner Performance Studio last month, the musicians told Kyle and I that after meeting each other, they spent some time talking about music and exchanged their iTunes libraries before Jackson went to Finland to work on a PhD, and Dana traveled to the Azores to paint.
I mean, it was a brief, we just spent very little time together, but there was a lot of music there, a lot of talking about music and listening to music, and when we shared music is when we kind of got each other's ideas, I guess, because, of course, someone's iTunes library is kind of their, that's like their soul. They have all of their stuff there. That's their listening material. So I got all of hers, she got all of mine, and then we went separate ways and didn't see each other for few years.
Yeah.
Kind of kept in touch, email, I guess.
I started playing guitar when I went to this island, Flores in the Azores, to paint. And I ended up learning how to play guitar, and one of the first songs I learned was one of his that was on my iPod called Tied to the Sea. And then I came back home and I decided I was going to start playing, but it was really slow going. And I wasn't really booking very many shows. And just in February or something, I decided, okay, I'm really going to give it a shot. And I booked 3 dates. And my second, I was at the Perk and then Tanglewood. And Jackson showed up at Tanglewood, like, in the middle of me completely ruining my sound. Like, I had this amplifier and all these knobs and scary things. And it was feeding back. And I'm playing the first song, like, I don't have people here that can fix this. I'm just, it's all over for me. And then Jackson walked in, and, like, I'm panicking and asked him to help, and he did.
That was after I sat in the back and cried a little bit listening to you sing, too, because it was so wonderful, you know. And I had missed her. I hadn't seen her in a while. So I went in and sat down by myself just to listen, just in the, you know, the back of Tanglewood. And it was really a powerful thing, and I thought, man, this is amazing. And then I knew she was struggling with the sound. I could see it. I could hear. I could tell by her the way she, and she kind of gave me this look. And then I fixed. It was just a feedback deal, so I tweaked some knobs, and then she played the rest of the night, and it was the sound was better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then what? I sat in on a song.
Yeah. On last break, I asked if you wanted to sit in on a song.
Mm-hmm. And then when we were finished there, we were like, okay. I was like, we need. She said, I think first, I think we need to play together. And I was like, yeah, we need to play together.
So the next day, I had Arcega's show, and he came over a couple hours before the show, and we practiced and got like 20 songs down.
Something
like that. So it just kind of everything just fell into place.
And you've written some songs together?
We've written some songs together. Yeah,
yeah, so we've been playing together for 4 months now. I've been gone for a month.
Mm.
Well, both of us have been gone for
about
a month and a half even. So it's just kind of new, but I feel like we have these same kind of musical ideas and can, it's not telepathy or anything, but it's a little bit like we kind of know where both of us would want a song to go, or like musically and lyrically.
So what we're trying to do is write songs together, and we're doing that. And she's written some songs on her own, and I've written some songs recently on my own. And then I was playing in a little folk band in Finland when I was there, and had a good time and learned a lot about playing with different types of people. And I've got songs that I've been writing since I was younger, since I was maybe 14 or 15. So, yeah, so we're kind of taking old songs as well of mine and putting a new spin on it and making them our own.
Now, you mentioned you picked up the guitar in the Azores, but what I have seen online, you have a banjo.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I got banjo for Christmas. My dad plays banjo. He's Ezra Eidlett from Trout Fishing in and so he's been just encouraging me. Anything I'm interested in, he's always, like, provided it or just pushed me in that direction. So he got a banjo for Christmas. He and my mom did.
So you had that banjo for about 7 months?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, she doesn't play like it.
No, not at all.
But he can explain things. I don't have like a musical mind as far as theory goes, but he explained it to me to where it makes sense. So it's very similar to guitar. I play it like a guitar, kind of. So it makes sense to me, and it's not that far.
It makes sense that you explain it like that, because when Kyle and I were listening to the music before we started the interview, he had said, you know, she plays very subtly. It doesn't, you know, sound like a hardcore banjo, but it's still a banjo.
Uh-huh.
You can tell it's a banjo, but there's a much softer sort of nuanced, not to insult other banjo players,
Mark
Buehling, if you're listening, but what I'm saying is it doesn't sound quite like other banjos that I've heard. There's a softer side or something to it.
Yeah, it's just what's coming out. I'm still learning so much, and I'm learning a lot with Jackson and, of course, with my dad. He's teaching me a lot of things.
I think part of the softness comes from the fact that she doesn't have fingernails and she's not using picks on that banjo.
Oh, okay.
So she's using her fingertips. So it is subtle and it is soft.
I'm not fancy. I don't know all that fancy banjo stuff yet.
You'll get there.
Do you read music?
No. I took piano whenever I was a kid for about 8 years, I think. And I could never read music. I would just memorize the song and kind of use it as a guideline, use the notes and the shape of it. But I remember my piano teacher would show me flashcards, and I just had no idea, couldn't tell you what note.
So I'm amazed by this. So you pick up the guitar, you don't know how to read music, you're on this tropical island, you just start, what was the first, okay, does this, when I hit this string, it makes this sound? Let's go from there.
So I grew up around a lot of musicians and music things happening, and this guy that I met on the island from Finland, who actually had seen Jackson play, this
what,
is an island of 2,000 people, and he's visiting and taking care of his friend's house. So his friend's house had a guitar in it, and I had noticed it, and he told me that I should listen to this woman, Alila Diane. And so I get the CD, and the internet is so slow there, so it took me a whole night to download from iTunes this CD of hers, and I just fell in love with it and thought, I can sing like that. I want to write like that and play music, really simple guitar. And so I stole this guitar, and still haven't met the owner of the guitar, and I learned this one song called Oh My Mama. And there were four chords, and I just played and listened to which strings made up the chord, and I found it. And so I've always played by ear, I think. But I learned this song, and I practiced and practiced and practiced, and I finally showed it to this guy who was house-sitting, and he wanted me to play it again. And again and again. So then I just kind of got bored, and I needed to learn new songs. So I just kept learning another song because they wanted me to play in the evenings or all the time. So I ended up singing for my supper a lot. Yeah.
All right, I've got to ask you about the name, because this is a very specific thing.
And for those who haven't seen it spelled, it's not heirloom as in an heirloom gift. It's air, like what you breathe, and loom, like something you would weave with.
And the heirloom was this sort of machine that this fellow thought existed. Some think that he might have been an early example of paranoid schizophrenia. He thought this heirloom was being used to blast rays at him by the British government or others. So this doesn't seem like an accident that you came up with this for your name. What?
It is. We came up with the name first and learned about James Tilly Matthews afterwards.
So was it just a play on heirloom, or?
Yeah, play on words for heirloom. Because we would make notes of all these different band names as we're just starting to play together. What do you
think
about this?
And just words and ideas.
And nothing was really fitting. And then, I don't know, I was driving with my aunt to a Newport art festival, and just texted Jackson heirloom, H-E-I-R, and then he looked up on Facebook or something. Maybe you found that there was
I wanted
was
to make sure there
band.
Wasn't like a mainstream band called Heirloom, and sure enough, there is. Mm-hmm. So what if we just spelled it differently?
Yeah.
So I texted her back, A-I-R, and we were like, space there or no space, or does it matter? And then, it took me a little bit, but when I did Google and I thought, wow, this is really interesting. It's a really interesting story about this guy.
It really is.
Bedlam, and of course, it's hard to to diagnose someone posthumously. But,
right.
They do think that he may have been one of the first kind of
documented
case of paranoid schizophrenia.
And when you say in Bedlam, you don't mean that with a small b, that's capital B.
Right.
That was the name of
the asylum. The,
right.
Right.
So once you found that out, you said, oh, we're going to go with this.
Right. And yeah. And he would claim that the heirloom would induce things like lobster cracking and thigh talking.
Bomb bursting.
These were some of the words he used to describe the treatment that it would, you know, it, the effects
brain
it would have
stretching.
On someone. Brain stretching. So, and we like those words. Those are cool. Brain stretching is.
So can we hear some lobster cracking, thigh talking, uh-huh. brain stretching music?
Sure.
What do you want to start with?
Tide
of the Sea. Okay.
You want to introduce it?
Yeah. So this is one of the first songs that I learned of Jackson's. And I say I play by ear, and I listen to his song, and then I came up with these chords, which are actually nothing even resembling what he was playing. But in my head, it like twisted around and turned into this.
I think it's better now.
But he liked it, so.
I've been walking down that road.
Done lost my heavy load. This is my friend's song, my childhood friend, Joshua Tempest, and he lives up in Oregon. And he said that he started hearing this old man's voice, kind of, what's his name, Tom Waits. Kind of a Tom Waits voice telling him this song in his head, and he had to scramble for a pencil to write it down, and then he came up with these chords, and it's just an amazing song. And it was the first song that he's written, I'm not sure if he's written more after that, but he's a juggler usually. So anyway, so this is a song called Better Off Dead.
Some heinous evil things. Village elders rise from their graves. The very sight of it is quite depraved. Rituals bring them back to life. So hide your children and hide your wife. And be careful out there, oh, be careful out there. Be careful out there, you best beware. Without a care, you'll end up in over your head. Be careful out there, be careful out there. Careful out there, you best beware. If you wake up from this party, you might be better off dead. There's a drink of vile kind. Take a sip and open up your mind. Be careful if you drink more. Your heart and soul become an open door. They'll step inside, change what they will. The very thought of it just makes me ill. Believe my story, for it's true. When you wake up, you might not be you. So be careful out there, oh, be careful out there. Careful out there, you best beware. Without a care, you'll end up in over your head. Oh, be careful out there, oh, be careful out there. Careful out there, you best beware. If you wake up from this party, you might be better off dead. Dreadful sight. One's chosen to play the part, and they cut from them their still beating heart. It's an honor, so they say, but I remember his eyes that day. So be careful out there, oh, be careful out there. Careful out there, you best beware. Without a care, you'll end up in over your head. Careful out there, oh, be careful out there. Careful out there, you best beware. If you wake up from this party, you might be better off dead.
That was Jackson Jennings and Dana Louise Eidlett, collectively known as Heirloom, inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. You can catch the duo at various Fayetteville venues this week, including Greenhouse Grill on Wednesday, George's Majestic Lounge on Friday, and Mojo's Pints and Pies next Saturday. Heirloom will also be performing at 9 a.m. August 24th at our Sagas at the Depot as part of the Fayetteville Roots Festival. More information is available at facebook.com/heirloomband.
Scottish actor David Tennant doesn't think acting is all that hard.
You stand in a field with some cameras pointing at you, pretend to be someone else and recite words that somebody wrote in their room several months before. If you look at it objectively, it can feel a bit daft.
David Tennant on his latest role in the BBC crime drama Broadchurch, Saturday on Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition Saturday, tomorrow morning from 7 until 9 on KUAF 91.3 FM. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. The 2013 Fayetteville Roots Festival is Thursday, August 22nd through Sunday the 25th. This music festival will showcase Ozark culture, roots music, and local food, as well as organic and fair trade items, jewelry, live art, and exhibits. Tickets and more information are available at FayettevilleRoots.com.
A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas, this is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Tawnytown.
I was in Tawnytown this week.
I was there yesterday.
Did you go?
I went to the Grape Festival, and yes. I finally got some chicken, fried chicken, and spaghetti.
I don't know if you had a chance. I did the show alone yesterday, but I got the answer to why.
Right.
Yeah.
That was great. And I finally got the answer to what goes on in that building and what that food tastes like.
And it's pretty good, right?
It's pretty good. It was far too much food.
Yes, it's easy to overindulge, but...
No, I definitely stopped. I felt terrible for stopping, like, halfway through. Like, a friend of mine that went with us, she was like, I keep eating, and I feel like this should be half gone, and I look at it, and it's still there.
It just never...
It's like a never-ending thing.
You never see the bottom of the plate.
I mean...
Did you have some rolls, though?
I did. They were very good. Yeah. They were very good. I mean, I didn't waste it. I shared it with everybody else that could still eat much more than I could. But
now you've done it.
Now I've done it. I was very pleased.
All right. Tonight, I'm honored to be at the Fayetteville Public Library. I Ain't In It For My Health, a film about Levon Helm, will have its Northwest Arkansas premiere. After the screening, I'll be moderating a panel discussion, including friends and musicians who knew Levon for a long time. That's tonight at the Fayetteville Public Library.
Sounds good.
I think it will be. All right. I'm alone again on Monday. You and I back together Tuesday at noon. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Have a safe weekend.